Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Coolie Drinkers! We are back, and it is week three of the NFL season. We're recording this on September 20th at 8:13 p.m. Central, 9:13 Eastern. I don't know why I get that specific, but you know, I just want to inform the audience where we're at in our state of mind during the week when we're recording this. So in case they listen to it on Friday or Saturday, just know this is recorded on a Wednesday night. But anyways, we are here to preview week three, where the Lions will be hosting the Atlanta Falcons, the undefeated Atlanta Falcons, coming into Detroit. And we are going to be giving our predictions, our roar of the week, and breaking down that whole matchup, the injury report, and all that good stuff. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got DJ.
Hey, everybody.
And Connor.
What up?
Hey.
Lions fan.
So. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining. Thank you, listeners, for joining into the podcast here today. And we hope that everybody has, you know, enjoyed the last few days as much as you can. You know, coming off a loss is always tough. It's a really tough Monday. I don't know about you. Is it a tough Monday for you guys after a Lions loss?
It was.
It's a tough to get out of bed. Yeah. Like you actually played in the game yourself.
I felt like so certain that we were going to have a relatively dominating victory, so it was very humbling waking up Monday morning for me.
Yeah, it's tough being a Kool-Aid drinker, you know, because we're eternally optimistic about our Lions, you know, and then
right,
and when you're let down like that, it's just horrible, you know. I wish I could be like one of those fans sometimes that just, you know, has that sort of skeptical fandom, you know, just doesn't expect much, and then the surprise when it happens. I expect a lot, and I'm very disappointed when it doesn't happen. So yeah, it was disappointing. Tough couple days. I couldn't even read Lions news for a couple
it's
days.
Tough. It is tough. I don't watch.
It was really hard.
I don't watch the highlight shows when the Lions lose. Unless I think they've been wronged by the referees, then I want to hear everybody complaining and making sure that the complaints are being heard. but that's the only instance. Like when the Seahawks batted the ball out of bounds on Monday Night Football, like the refs were clearly wrong.
You mean like that holding call and Hutch that they didn't call?
Me and Rud Dog touched on that in the Instant Reaction podcast on Sunday, and was it bad? Yes, yeah, but there's a lot worse calls that have been missed in Lions lore and just the NFL in general. And I mean,
honestly, if they called that, they're still getting in the end zone.
Yeah, the way it was going. Like
the Seahawks win that game either way.
Right, and in a way, I think Hutch missed an opportunity. Like he got held, but that was after he kind of already lost his contain of the quarterback too. So I don't know, but like you said, it didn't impact the outcome of the game, and I think that's why people aren't too upset about it. But the Lions did have a lot of news on the injury front this week. CJ Gardner-Johnson didn't wear a thick enough ski mask or a protective enough one. I don't know what it was, but tore his pec during the game And he's on IR. Maybe he comes back at the end of the season. Most of the time, a torn pec is a season-long injury. So it's not looking good for him. James Houston broke his leg. He will be out for the year. And we've already talked about Pascal being on IR. Julian Aquara, for some reason, is on IR. It's undisclosed why. So tough blow, but for CJGJ, I mean, it's time for Tracy Walker to step up in that
Tracy
regard,
time. Right?
Absolutely. Tracy Walker.
It's Tracy time, absolutely.
And it's nearly a year this week of when he tore his Achilles. So this is his 1 year anniversary this week, and he's been put right back in the starting role. I mean, the Lions are paying him like a starting safety, so
yeah.
It's time for him to show up. And he's going to be motivated.
There shouldn't be much of a drop off, really, theoretically, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean that tests our safety depth a little more than we'd like this early in the season, and it stinks because Gardner Johnson, yeah, he had the penalty, but I mean he still was a huge playmaker the first 2 weeks of the season for us. So losing that, it stinks. It definitely stings because he's a playmaker out there. Led the NFL, or he's top three in interceptions last year. I can't remember if he led the NFL off the top of my head, but either way, super impactful player, a leader in the locker room as well. I mean, he'll be around for that stuff, but just not having on the field and that energy that he brought is going to really, that's going to be a challenge for somebody else to fill that void. And who do you think fills the energy void at least? Well, is it Tracy Walker? Is it somebody else?
Kirby Joseph is my guess.
Kirby Joseph. All right.
Yeah. Kirby Joseph.
All right, I like it.
I don't know.
The stuff we've read and things, you know, coming into the season, it seems like he was really, feeding off of CJGJ a lot. And I think he's going to try to emulate that kind of energy. So that's, I know he's only his second year, but I see him being kind of that guy to do that.
Definitely. And speaking of him, he did not practice today. I think that's more precautionary. I think he should be good to go. There's some other questionable ones. Amon-Ra St. Brown has a toe injury. They put a steel plate in his cleat the other day. So, I mean, that suggests a possible turf toe injury, which means this probably is not going to go away for the rest of the season. Turf toe is usually a pretty lingering thing for an entire season once you have it. So that kind of stinks. They'll probably just maybe give him a good shot or something in the foot right before the game. Although the shot's a little harder in the foot than like the leg or
that sounds
arm.
Painful. You got those veins and stuff popping out.
So hopefully, cutting and all that stuff is like key to his game. So I hope it doesn't affect him in that way. But I guess he plays because he's a tough dude. And like I said, that turf toe this week or next week or the following, it's going to feel about the same no matter what. So it's just something he's going to learn probably to play with throughout the season. Kind of like how Frank Ragnow is dealing with the foot thing that can't go away. I don't know if this is quite the same, but that's a sucky injury. Emmanuel Mosley, still working on his hamstring and his knee. He's got like the double injury report right now. I hope we can see him out there because I don't know if you got. You guys weren't on the instant reaction pod, but Jerry Jacobs, he's having a rough go of it
a little bit
so far.
Yeah, he is.
So I think we need Mosley a lot, but I mean, part of that goes back to what we discussed a lot on the pod, which was pass rush. We need a pass rush in any way possible.
Yeah.
Big V.
It's, I don't know.
Yep. Go ahead, Connor.
Oh no, if you're moving on, that's fine.
I'd like to comment on the
so
pass,
frustrating
pass rush though.
I feel like they're really failing to contain on like every play. Like you'll see some sick spin move, but then the quarterback will break free or they're leaving these gapping run lanes, and like a lot of players are losing one-on-one battles. It feels like it's just, I don't know if it's a scheme thing or what, but that is the biggest concern with me with this defense right now is the pass rush. And
I
assume you guys would agree with that.
I do agree with that. And I don't know. It seems like they're trying so hard to keep a discipline contained that they're taking away some of their just aggressiveness toward the quarterback. And while doing that, they're still letting them slip out anyway. So why can't we just be a little more aggressive toward the quarterback and, take our chances that way? Because you watch them rush and they're all like beautiful in formation, you know, closing that pocket slowly but surely. And he still finds a way to slip out. Why not just pin your ears back and let's see what these guys can do, you know? I think they're a little too under control, you know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, the Lions are going to have another mobile quarterback to face this week in Desmond Ridder, so it's not going to get any easier in that regard.
No.
Not like a Mac Jones or something like that back there. They will run it with their quarterback fairly often. He has 11 carries for 38 yards this year. But especially in the red zone, they'll use him a lot. But we'll get all that in a moment. The rest of the injury report, Taylor Decker still has his ankle issue. Let's hope we get him back out there so we can move Sewell back to the right side. I think Sewell still had a little, you know, I mean, he just hasn't played a lot of left tackle in the NFL. So he had a little bit of ups and downs in that game. I mean, he's still a solid tackle by all means, but especially in the run game. But Big V still hurts, undisclosed his injury a little bit. I don't know if we'll see him, but I don't think we're losing sleep over that one necessarily because we have Glasgow there for now. Although Big V has been, he's been pretty, this is one of his better years so far that we've seen out of him.
Yeah.
I'd like him to be healthy just for depth reasons.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It feels like everyone's going down right now.
Yeah, throughout the NFL.
Hey, we got Skipper
prayers
back,
up for Nick
man.
Chubb.
We got Skipper back, so we're good.
I was just curious if I can ask a brief side question.
Oh.
The Aaron Rodgers thing kind of brought it up, and all these injuries are happening. Are you guys in favor of all grass?
Yes.
For
every
stadium?
Definitely.
Yes, I'm absolutely in favor of that. Absolutely.
I think so, too. I don't know why the NFL drags their feet on it.
The Lions cannot do it in a dome, though. It's not like the Arizona Cardinals where they can roll it out in the sun and all that stuff. The Lions play in the winter when the grass doesn't grow.
You just get a big, giant fucking can opener, and you open that thing up. And
I'm sure they could figure it out.
They can figure it out.
I mean,
it's 2020.
The Lions turf is the same one that the MetLife uses. And the NFL claims that there is no data to support there's more injuries on that type of turf than grass. I don't know, because when I was in college, you know, I don't know if this is the same kind of turf, but we got artificial turf of some sort. I don't know the type necessarily. But either way, we had grass the first 2 years, no Achilles injuries. We got the new turf the first year, 3 Achilles injuries during training camp. Suck for those guys. And it's just like you saw, like a rubber band snapping on your calf, and it just sucks. So, yes.
Yeah.
Long answer to say, very much in favor of the grass over the turf. It's just more natural, which makes sense.
It makes it more fun. They get dirty and muddy and stuff. It's
having
great,
said that, Nick
it?
Chubb was on grass and it did not do him any favors, regardless of the – it could have been cement.
So, I was told not to watch the slow-mo of the Chubb injury, but I did.
Well, when you're told not to do something, you do it. So
now I feel like I have phantom legs in my pain.
Man, prayers up to him, because
that was
extremely ugly.
I don't know.
That was very hard.
And it's like a Monday night curse, I guess. It was like Aaron Rodgers, now it's Chubb. I think there was one last year, too, at the end of the season. Someone got hurt pretty good. They were mentioning him. But anyways, the other big one is David Montgomery, who after the game said he might miss a couple weeks. That was him talking in the locker room. Then Dan Campbell said, well, I don't know about that. We'll see how it is day to day. And that's what he's listed as, day to day right now. So I think he's going to play.
I hope he plays.
It sounds like he just got hit pretty good in the thigh, and he's just worked like a little tight there in his thigh. Like
that's
Charlie
what ice
horse.
Is for.
Right, UJ, that's what you were saying, Charlie horse.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
So, I mean, if you guys had to predict right now, does David Montgomery play? Because I need him for fantasy reasons to play.
Yes, but I think he's going to be limited.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be driving like he was the week before.
Yeah, and he was cooking, too. He was cooking until he got hurt right there. I mean, he had the fumble, but after that, he came back with a vengeance. And he was looking like
the
best he has since he joined the Lions, but, I mean...
I'm thinking with the way Campbell thinks, they're going to try not to play him. You know, they'll put Reynolds in there. And
Reynolds is uninspiring in his performance in that game.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I think he tends to lean toward the being careful with injuries and stuff like that. And it's a long season and such. If Montgomery's not ready to go fully, then I my gut tells me that he might hold him out another game. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong on that because I would like to see him play.
I wonder what they do with Gibbs. I feel like they were like afraid to use Gibbs after Montgomery got hurt. Like,
yeah. Gibbs needs to just like have a little more patience. I feel like he has the speed to cut through these holes. He just needs to like let the hole develop a little more. If you go back and watch film, it's just I just want a little more of that feel and that instinct. Because he obviously has the speed and the acceleration to get through these things. I think he's just trying to still get his feet wet. He's averaging 2.3 yards a carry, which is very bad right now. But that's only through two games and a limited, limited carry so far. But I mean, do you guys see 15 carries for Gibbs in this game? Do you think?
I think so, just because of the Montgomery injury. And we're going against Bijan, who is like the other big running back from the class, who looks amazing.
We'll get to him in a moment, Connor.
We'll see.
We'll get to him in a moment.
But
from the Falcons' perspective, nobody's on their injury list. Jeff Okuda's back fully practicing. Troy Anderson, who UJ and Red Dog liked a lot in the draft last year. Yeah. That's that guy that played like both ways at, I think, like Montana or something like that. He's actually a really good linebacker for them, too.
Yeah, really? He's really good, did you say?
Yes, he's produced really well. So they're ready to go. The Lions are definitely hurting a lot more than the Falcons, and the undefeated Falcons, who came back against the Packers at home last week, really turned it on in the second half. They just grind them down, really. Let's get into now previewing this game. So the Lions opened as 4.5-point favorites. Now that's down to 3.5. This game is at home. It's a 1 o'clock Eastern noon kickoff in Detroit. And the 1-1 Lions do not want to go under 500. And this is going to be a tough opponent. The Falcons are vastly improved on defense, and they have just a super dynamic running game. They're averaging 4.8 yards a carry right now. And Bijan Robinson leads away. He had 124 yards last week. Tyler Algier is a great backup running back as well. And then you have a mobile quarterback in Ridder. And that doesn't include Cordarrelle Patterson, who's kind of like a jack of all trades from them receiving. But they have Drake London receiving, Kyle Pitts. They're loaded receivers. They don't really use receivers at all. Considering how loaded they are talent-wise there, it's kind of amazing how they operate. And then the defensive side, Jesse Bates is a safety from the Bengals. He was a free agent from the Bengals. They have Trey Flowers, a cornerback. That's somebody that can be exposed. Troy Anderson, as I mentioned. A.J. Terrell is a really good cornerback on the outside. But right now, let's focus on the Lions defense, UJ. How is the Lions defense going to move from last week to this week against this Falcons team? What are we going to do schematically to change our performance?
Well, I think the key to this for the Lions is you got to stop the run. And I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but they got to take a long, hard look at themselves after that last game and make some adjustments. But I think we really got to slow down Bijan Robinson in that run game to have a chance. I'm not as worried about Ridder passing the ball. Yeah. It's really that run game. And like you said, it wore the Packers down last week. It could do the same to us, you know, if we're on the field too long. So we got to shut down that run. Get them into long third down situations, you know, and trust our defense to stop them on third down. I'd like to see our secondary go back to more man defense. We seem to be going toward more zone lately. I don't know. I kind of like the man to man.
Yeah, it's surprising. Really,
I know. I mean, I know. And with Ridder, you know, inexperienced quarterback, we got a chance to maybe expose him a little bit if we're smart, but. Definitely the key is going to be slowing that run game down. After watching this last week, I have my doubts on it, but I think they're going to make some adjustments this week, and we'll see a vast improvement there.
The Lions for the first 2 weeks of the season have been great defending the run, but having said that, they're both pass-heavy teams that we went against in the Seahawks and the Chiefs. This is the opposite. This is a run-first team. A lot of different concepts that they'll throw at the Lions. I mean, they have 341 yards rushing, 352 passing. But But I mean, this is they are looking to run first, no matter what. As I mentioned, they have like Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and they're heavily underutilized considering their talent level. I mean, Bijan Robinson is leading the team in receptions by 4 receptions, which probably shouldn't be happening with that type of talent on this
team.
That's
insane.
But I mean, Connor, do you agree with UJ about the? I mean, what are you looking for the Lions' defense here right out of the gate?
100%. If you can close running gaps and force Desmond Ridder to throw, I think even with our injuries, I like our secondary and man to force him to maybe make some mistakes and generate some turnovers. I am a little concerned after last week, but I do think the Lions will make adjustments. And Dan Campbell today was all fired up. He's like, "We're in the mud. This is where we should be." Like, I don't know. It got me fired up again. So I think they're going to do it.
Yeah, they got their humble pie, right? That's what he said after the game the other day.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they'll get it done, but I think it's going to be a close battle.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with what UJ was saying in terms of I want to see the Lions load the box here, rely on man coverage, and let Desmond Ridder try to beat you. Because this offensive line of the Falcons and this running back field is absolutely loaded. And I sent you guys the clip of Bijan, this run that he had against the Packers. It's one of many, but this one I wanted to highlight where his cut and his acceleration, like at the same time, is just, it's outrageous. The man, he gets upfield in a hurry, and he just has great instinct, and that's why he was a top 10 draft pick. He is really tough to defend. I want to see one extra guy in the box at least. At least to start the game, like feel the waters, see if Ridder's feeling it or not, throwing the ball. I guess make your adjustments after that. But even if you give up a touchdown to start, if that's the way you got to start, just to get a feel to see if Ridder can beat your defense, one-on-one coverage on the outside, I'm fine with that because you got to shut down this run first. And they've done it successfully the first 2 weeks, like I mentioned, but at a cost because Lions can't defend the pass to save their life. And I would love to see the Falcons try because I don't think they're as good as the Seahawks or the Chiefs throwing the ball.
Yeah, I'd like to add one more personal observation on the linebacking.
I love
it. We were all hyped up about the linebacking this year with the addition of Campbell and such.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been inconsistent, and I still think they're looking for the right combination out there, and it's not always working. There were times I really thought we should have had Campbell in that game instead of Barnes, especially in pass protection. I think Rodrigo's great against the run, which I think we'll see more of him this week. But I'm really confused sometimes on the combinations they put out there. And
I mean, I thought Barnes had a great game. I don't think he was a problem last week. Did you?
He
only gave up 9 yards receiving in his defense.
No, you might be
right.
He
was not the problem. Rodrigo and Anzalone gave up like 70, 80 yards, and which is unfortunately a slightly recurring theme we've seen with covering tight ends.
I don't know. Maybe I'm slightly off base on that, but it's just kind of my own personal observation. So I don't know. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but
I've loved what we've seen out of Barnes. He looks vastly improved, at least from last year.
I like Barnes.
The Lions' faith in him seems to be paying off. I mean, we still got a full season to go here, but he definitely looks vastly improved over last year at the very least. But yes, I would like to see more Campbell too. Probably more Campbell and less Rodrigo. Rodrigo's challenged size wise.
No,
he
is.
Can't help
he
it.
Is.
You know, he is who he is.
I love him.
He's just stood against the run though. He really is.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we'll see him more this week, because of that. What we do need is a step up from the interior defensive line.
Like, Lee McNeil.
Put an arm on any defender that is holding the ball. That would be appreciated.
I swear, I feel like I haven't noticed the Leem at all this season so far. It's like he's just.
I noticed him getting losing one-on-one battles with the guard.
Yeah.
And pass rush.
I meant in the aspect of making something good happen. But yes, I agree with you. We could really use a good game out of him this week.
Absolutely. Do you think
year three with him?
Do you think we see Bugs or Broderick Martin?
Yeah,
I hope we see Broderick. I mean, what he was a relatively high draft pick.
Yeah, third rounder.
I don't know. He should be out there.
Well, I'm hoping somebody like, I mean, Bugs seems to be waiting for his chance to prove himself. I think this would be a good week to do that.
Yeah,
I
agree.
we don't know all the details, obviously. Like, I thought Broderick Martin was having a great camp, and that was all the reporting, at least. That he looked really good in camp, was making a lot of plays. I mean, blown off the times, but you got to give the rookie a chance to grow. But really, we need anybody up the middle to make a play. So,
yeah,
I don't care who it is. So even if they give up a big play, but come back and make like another TFL or something like that, then I'm fine giving them that chance. But we need somebody up the middle. Hutch can't do it all. I mean, Hutch did not have a great game last week. But he's the only, like, Charles Harris looking for you too. For anybody else besides Hutch to step up. Still waiting.
I feel like defenses know Hutch is like the only threat out there too. So it's like making it right. tougher. Ah, man.
It's a major problem. It's a major problem. Well, and they know this. I mean, people are saying it was losing Todd Wash, our defensive lineman coach. He went to the Browns to go work with Jim Schwartz. Todd Wash is the Detroit Lions defensive line coach for the last couple of years, but he really grew Hutch. But anyways, losing him, and then you see Cleveland's defensive line, it's loaded talent-wise, so it's probably an easy job for him. But either way, they are playing very well. The Lions defensive line is not. So I don't know if it's a coaching thing, schematic thing, Aaron Glenn-wise. Oh, Connor, I didn't mention, while we're talking about defense, I didn't mention our instant reaction pod. You were calling for Aaron Glenn's head yet again as the offensive coordinator. Do you still stand by that now, or have you cooled off after a couple of days?
Well, first of all, Big Z, I want to thank you. I did deserve to be called out for that. It was a heat of the moment thing, as you know, in our Lions chat.
I know.
Sometimes we say things. I don't want him to be fired, no. But I'm a little frustrated with him sometimes, and I don't always think he's good at adapting to the personnel he has, and I don't think he's always great at making adjustments on the fly in the game. That's concerning in the aspect of, like, if you're making a deep playoff run, you need to do those things. I still like Aaron Glenn. I mean, week one was awesome on defensively, so
yeah,
he's 1-for-2. You know, he could be 2-for-3 after this week. I was just frustrated, so I take it back. If you're asking me officially on the record, I take it back.
All right, there we go. That's what I want. I just want it on the record one way or the other, since I was speaking
Thank
for
you
the other day. But I want you to speak for yourself.
I'm glad. I hope our stenographer got that written down somewhere. So
definitely. Let's flip it to the other side of the ball. The Lions offense. Amon Ra, hopefully he's in. If not, that adds an extra little wrinkle. And then David Montgomery, that adds a little extra wrinkle. And Big V, if he's out in Decker. They have their challenges. But this is a Falcons team that you can definitely score on. I mean, they went against the Panthers week one. That's really hard to judge. I don't know if you guys have watched the Carolina Panthers first 2 weeks of the season.
A little bit, yeah.
It's not good. It is not good. that Panthers offense is atrocious. I don't know if you guys saw the video of Miles Sanders pushing Bryce Young. Bryce Young goes lining up pre-snap, like reading the defense.
Oh, yeah.
He's lining up behind the right guard instead of the center, and the running back had to push him over to get behind the center.
And I saw
this is like in shotgun formation, but it was still really funny. Anyway, so I don't really judge them for that performance. Green Bay had their way with them for like three quarters last week, really, scoring 24 points, but then Atlanta scored 21 unanswered in the second half to respond. So if you want to talk about adjustments, there's one for you there in a positive way for the Falcons. But Anyways, thoughts on the offense going against this Atlanta defense? And Jeff Okuda's returned to Detroit. Revenge game for him.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a revenge game for him. Like, I mean, he had every shot. Yeah. I want to first shout out Jared Goff, who I think had an incredible game last week. I know he had the pick six, but when you're doing one every 400 passes, I'm going to give him a pass. And it wasn't completely his fault either. But I'm stoked. I think Gibbs is going to have a good game. I think Laporta, who I got made fun of on the Chiefs pod for saying Laporta was going to pop off, but Laporta looks like a beast out there, and I expect
who made fun of you? Of we him. Did.
No, the Chiefs guys were like,
Oh, yeah.
He's a rookie tight end. He's going to not do anything this year. But he looks beastly. Yeah. So that's all I got.
A tight end that can catch the ball. A first round tight end that can catch the ball.
Crazy.
Not gonna work. Find some wood around me here. So far, it's been great. But UJ, Lions offense, just your thoughts on kind of how are they going to attack this defense of Atlanta?
That's a good question. I mean, the running game's hampered if Montgomery doesn't play. I'd like to see Gibbs maybe out there in a receiving position once in a while, put him out, split him out, do something like that. I think Goss can be relying on Laporta a lot in this game. And his tight ends in general might be hitting both of them. But I think Laporta's going to have a big game this week. I'm pretty confident in Goff and the way he's playing. So I think he'll find his receivers. You know, I think it's going to be more about our passing game than our running game, though, in this game. Me. So this one's kind of on Goff and his receivers to me. And I think they need to have a good game.
You know who's getting a lot of love in fantasy circles now is Josh Reynolds. He's finally getting a little bit of love. He's like on everybody's like top waiver wire pickups of the week. He's looked great the first two.
He's earned it. He's earned every bit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, so the biggest I don't think this is like a vaunted pass rush. You obviously have Grady Jarrett on the inside, who's always inside, outside. They move him around a lot, but he's a beastly defense lineman that the Lions are going to have to keep an eye on for sure. Calais Campbell, he's definitely on the older side now. But, I mean, if he wants to turn it on late in the game, that's somebody you still have to pay attention to. Troy Anderson, UJ, he finally gets to watch a game with Troy Anderson playing. Unfortunately, he's in black and red and not silver and blue. But nonetheless, here he is. AJ Terrell on the outside. He plays a lot of man coverage on the outside there. So the Lions can take advantage of that, I guess, if you will, in terms of shift a lot of motion, pre-snap motion, move Amon-Ra St. Brown around a lot. I would imagine that's who he would go against. Or, no, actually, I changed my mind. I think Josh Reynolds is somebody that he's going to kind of stick on throughout this game. Then you have Okuda. I don't know how much they're going to get him in. I mean, it'd be for his first game back. Trey Flowers is somebody you could definitely attack, so especially deep down the field. That's where the Packers had a lot of success last week. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lions kind of do the old like deep pass but slightly underthrown. The receiver tries to come back for the ball to run into Trey Flowers for the pass interference, because I've seen that twice already this year against Trey Flowers. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lions try that one as well. It just has to be a slightly underthrown ball, slightly out of bounds. Like, so it's uncatchable, so it's not a, in case you don't get the call, but it's incomplete in case you don't, rather than a possible interception like from a safety over top. But you got to make sure it's just man coverage and the safety's not there to pick it off. So you got to pick the timing on those type of things, but definitely a play that's absolutely possible. But a lot of these names, people probably don't know, like Richie Grant, but Jesse Bates is a name we should know. And that's somebody you got to pay attention to over the middle. Two interceptions already this year. High price free agent, went to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship with the Bengals the last couple of years. So that's somebody that they're absolutely gonna have to contend with. Or that's the Falcons defense, but definitely expect a lot of man coverage on the outside. And I think they can have a pretty effective run game, the Lions, in this one, because the Packers, at least, were pretty effective. And I believe the Panthers ran for over 100 yards against them as well. But anyways, those are my thoughts. Did you guys have anything else to add before we get into our prediction segment?
No, I think we're ready.
All right. For prediction. So, okay. So Lions, well, actually.
Hey, wait. Time out.
Whoa.
I think we just touch on Campbell for 1 second here.
Oh, okay. Let's touch him.
I know people have questioned a lot of his game time decisions and stuff, but then some statistical thing out there, I don't know, came out and said Campbell's actually one of the best in-game play callers in the game. Do you know the article I'm talking about, Big Z?
I don't, but it makes sense because most of the analytics always say for go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about that one where they could have had the field goal? Was that like a fourth and four where they could have kicked the field goal?
Yeah, you could have had like a 47-yard field goal attempt on that, I think. But it's just interesting that the statistical things say he's calling a great game. Sometimes to the eye of the fan, he might question some of the calls, but I mean,
you like it, right, UJ, when he goes around the fourth down?
I generally like it.
I like it. I
prefer the aggression. I prefer the aggression. Absolutely.
And a lot of coaches around the NFL respect it too, because it's also like the Lions there's a lot of teams that don't have like an identity to them. And those are the teams that usually are lost. They're 500. They're under 500. Like the Bears, for instance. I wouldn't say that offense has any sort of identity whatsoever. That team doesn't have an identity. The Lions have an identity. They're going to be aggressive no matter what. They're going to onside kick when you don't expect it. They're going to run a fake punt when you don't expect it. And damn it, we're going to go for it on fourth down because we have confidence in our approach to this game. And it also shows confidence in your... So I think somebody is arguing like the Lions are going for it because he doesn't have confidence in defense. No, it's his confidence in his offense to get the fourth down. I don't think it had anything to do with the defense. Because the analytics support going for it on fourth down. So,
yeah. Anyway, you know, thanks. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. No, that was great. I love it. I love it. And I would expect him to do not change at all, despite not going for that fourth down on the Kansas City 40 in the first half of the first game of the season. Didn't understand that.
Yeah, occasionally he doesn't go for it. And I guess that's to make sure like we keep it unexpected. But sometimes I'm like, why are you suddenly not being aggressive?
That's yeah.
I agree. He's been doing a good job.
Actually, before we get like to our predictions, really quick, did you guys see on the Sunday night game how the Patriots were blocking field goals?
I heard about it, yeah.
Really cool. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more people try to adopt that method. Basically, they had there's always that edge guy that runs around the blocks on the outside. Usually it's pretty unsuccessful, but the Patriots are trying to pretty much get a running start towards blocking the kick. And the one time he timed it up perfectly and he blocked it extremely easy. So I look forward to Lions trying that with somebody on this team. I don't know who yet, but maybe it's like a Jacobs or something like that. Field goal block. But anyways, I just want to point that out. I thought that was really cool. Innovation from another coach outside of the Lions. But everybody steals from each other in the NFL. So
that's how it
goes.
I
want to point that out.
Just like the music industry, it's all borrowing, stealing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, UJ, Connor,
yeah,
are you ready?
For what?
I'm ready.
For our prediction segments?
Predictions?
It's a prediction segment. The last week you guys said predictions, and I started with something else. So there's segments. But our first prediction segment is the roar of the week. It's a little different each week. We're gonna go with that one for now. But our roar of the week, this is where we identify a player, any special teams, offense, defense, whoever's going to have the most impact on this game for the Lions' eventual victory. So, Connor, who's your roar of the week?
I'm going to go Laporta. Just continue gassing him up. I think he's going to catch two touchdowns in this game. And I think with Montgomery maybe being limited, Goff's going to look to air it out a little more. And I think we're going to see some amazing red zone plays from Sam. So he's my pick. Not my pick to click. Sorry. My roar of the week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Connor. Get it right.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. I'm getting used to it.
We got our guest picker here.
He's my roar of the week.
I guess Twitter's laughing at you for getting it wrong.
I know.
UJ, do you want to read Red Dog's roar?
Yeah, his roar of the week is, I believe, Laporta. Same as. Oh,
did you hear how Greg Olson was pronouncing his name? He was like really pronunciating the T during that game. Laporta.
Like, Laporte.
Like he really hit the T hard in his name. Anyways.
Mm.
But he has Laporta, right? And does he have how many yards and stuff he's going for?
He said he clicks for 120 and two tutties.
Woo! Connor, do you have a similar line on him? 120 and two touchdowns?
I'm going to say 87 yards.
Oh, not 86? Are you sure? 87?
86 and a half. It's going to be one of those, like, but it's going to round up to 87.
All right, so, fair
enough.
87. All right, so UJ, who's your roar of the week? No,
my roar of the week is also Sam Laporta. How about that?
What? Copycat.
No, I know. You stole my thunder. And I'm sorry, but
were you looking at my homework?
I was thinking the same thing.
Were you looking
at
my homework the other day?
I think LaPorta is going to go off in this game, and I say he gets 100 yards and at least one touchdown and at least four first down catches to keep drives going. At least four.
Four.
So yeah, I think he's just going to have a great game, and Goff's going to be looking for him a lot. Yeah, he's definitely
my
roar of the week.
Yeah, so Bob is Jahmyr Gibbs is his roar of the week. He didn't give any context to it, but I think he just thinks that it's his time to shine. We're waiting for him to break out that first big run, that first big catch. I think we're going to see it this week. Or he does. Well, I think we all do. My roar of the week is going to be Cam Sutton. I think he gets an interception in this game that's going to turn this around. Like I mentioned, I think the Lions are going to play a lot more man defense because they're going to have below the box, and that's going to have Cam Sutton at least getting one pick in this game, and it's going to be impactful. I think it's going to happen in the first half, too, actually. I'm feeling second quarter. You know, get the bearings a little bit, but I do think Cam Sutton's going to come up with a pick in this game, and it's going to set the precedence for the rest of the game after that. Cam Sutton, by the way, I think he's playing very well this season so far. A good signing. Nonetheless, those are our...
Yeah, I like Cam.
Wait, Producer G'day, who's your Roar of the Week?
My Roar of the Week is... I have to say I'm Amon-Ra. He's going to get, like, seven catches for, like, 100 yards and a touchdown.
Justin, I want to hear your roar, though.
Roar! My Roar of the Week.
Okay. Thanks, producer kid. Amon-Ra St. Brown. All right, so there you have it. Three for LaPorta, one for Gibbs, and one for Cam Sutton. There you have it. Now we're going to get to our ever famous predictions. That's right. Our ever famous predictions. Connor, what's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a relatively close game. I think there's going to be some struggles early on with the line, but I think they're going to figure it out in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. And I think Goff's going to have another good game. I think Sam LaPorta is going to catch two touchdowns. And I think Gibbs is going to rush for another. My prediction is 24-17 Lions.
Ooh. Close-ish.
Yeah, close-ish. But I think within 8 minutes left of the fourth, it's going to be pretty clear that the Lions got it wrapped up. My prediction.
Fair enough. So it's going to be a tight battle, though. Tight battle. What are you saying?
I think so. I think it will be.
All right. The over-under is 46.5. I forgot
over
to
under for Vegas. So
that would be over. Wait, no. That'd be under. 24-17. Yeah. Under. That's 41 points.
That's quick maths.
UJ, first give us Red Dog's prediction, and then give us UJ's prediction.
Red Dog, who couldn't be here, did send his predictions in. And
he had a close one.
Yeah, it's one of his closer ones in recent memory. Lions 54, Falcons 3.
All right, UJ, what's your prediction?
Well, I drank a bad batch of Kool-Aid last week, and it was really heartbreaking and heartburning.
I don't know.
All that
stuff.
You're
okay,
so,
man.
I'm a little more tempered this week, and I think the Falcons are going to get there a few scores here, but I think we're going to pull this game out. 31-24. And I think the real difference in the game is going to be Jared Goff against Desmond Ridder. I think Jared Goff is going to prove to be the better quarterback in this game. And he's going to basically carry this team with his consistent play. And I think that's the difference in this game. One touchdown, but hey, might as well be 10 touchdowns. It doesn't matter. We get the win. 31-24, baby.
Wow. So, I mean, you still don't have faith in our defense to kind of, I mean, they get the job done here, but 24 points. Do you consider that a good job, or is it still going to be a rough game for them then in that perspective?
Well, they're going to have some struggles. And kind of like Connor said, I think this week they will adjust a little better this week. They failed to adjust well last week, I thought. That's maybe overstating it a little bit, because in that fourth quarter, actually, they did make a key stop, and the Lions came back from 10 down. So maybe I'm being too hard on them, but I mean, the Falcons will score some points, but I think 31-24 is fair. And I think that would be a good performance by our defense. Even with Hutch's scoop and score, I mean, yeah, it's going to be great. So we're going to win. All right, well, what the hell?
There you have it. There you have it. I love it. I love it. So I think the fact that both these teams are going to try to, especially the Falcons, are going to try to grind it out on the ground. I think that's going to lead to slightly. I think that's why this over-under is a little shorter than you have seen for Lions games recently in the 50s. So I'm going to go 24-20, a victory for the Lions here at home. It will be hard fought. I think the Lions take a early fourth quarter lead and don't relinquish it. 24-20. That, of course, includes a Cam Sutton interception at some point. I do think Josh Reynolds gets another touchdown this week. I think Jahmyr Gibbs gets his first as well in his second home game. And I haven't decided who gets the third touchdown. Obviously, a field goal thrown in there. Who do I think?
We already know. It's
LaPorta. LaPorta is going
to
get
one. Of course, you got to have LaPorta touchdown. Yeah. You have to. Your hands are tied. You have to predict.
Definitely. So there you go, 24-20. And I forgot to mention, Bob's prediction is 38-17.
Wow.
Lions.
Wow.
I just ran the numbers. I think we all predicted a Lions win. That's there.
What? Really?
Wait, there's one more, Connor. Producer Kid J.
Oh, Kid J. Really don't quick spoil prediction. It now.
My prediction is that the Lions are going to win 31-28.
My math still checks out. Let's go.
Riley Patterson with a clutch field goal.
Ford Field. Yep. Ford Field overs are hot.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
That's true.
You know that air conditioning is always on to blow the field goals just a little bit to the left. So, all right.
Works every time.
You have it. There you have it. Everybody. Now, Connor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 predictions. Yes. Oh, we got a lot.
All Lions victories.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this Vegas Lions way off of 3. Way off.
Totally.
It was unfortunately correct last week, but they're wrong now.
Imagine if we controlled the betting lines. Like,
well, if Run Dog controlled it, it'd be the lot. I mean, they'd be out of business in a week. Under. Run Dog would set the line at 40, and everybody be making free money.
Just take the spread for the other team every week, and you're guaranteed to be rich.
All right.
As long as they don't lose by 60, you'll make your money.
So, thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid or Twitter at Drinking Lions. That they should follow us on there. And I think they should try to give us their predictions for the game as well. DM us, or maybe we'll share a screenshot of the prediction, or we'll put up like an image and comment below of the prediction. We'll see. But definitely follow us on there. Instagram or Twitter / X, whatever they call it these days. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
J. Thank you to our producer, Kid J, for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate everything that he does. And Spotify, Apple, wherever you get a podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. That's always greatly appreciated. Am I missing anything else? I hope not, because I have nothing else I can think of. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast today. May you have a great and glorious and lovely and eventful weekend ahead. We hope you enjoy your Sunday, especially between noon and 3 or 1 and 4 or 11 and 2 or 10 and 1, whatever time zone you're in. Those are the 3-hour time windows for the 4 time zones in the United States, not including Hawaii. I'm getting way too into it. Okay.
Way to dog our Hawaiian listeners like that.
Yeah, wow.
Big D. Wow.
I just don't know how many hours behind us, so I can't do it on top of my head. I think it's 6.
We wear Honolulu blue.
So I guess what's 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in Hawaii. I hope you enjoy your time. Yeah, we do wear one. Yeah. I wasn't disrespecting. I just couldn't think of how far back in time they were. We're going to go 6 hours. But anyways, okay. So let's wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our listeners. We greatly appreciate you the most. And we'll be back Sunday night with our instant reactions to a Lions victory over the Falcons, presumed Lions victory over the Falcons. And we'll be talking about week 4 where the Lions are traveling to Lambeau. But right now, it's all about Sunday. It's all about a Lions victory in Ford Field. Got to protect that home turf. No more of these silly losses at home. Don't turn over the ball, Lions. Keep it in our hands. So,
yes.
Do you think Montgomery is going around to practice at home with? Have you ever seen the movie The Program where the running back carries the ball around campus and everybody's trying to take it from him? Exactly. So I hope he's doing the same thing this week. No fumbles. Even if somebody misses their block, you still can't fumble the ball. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
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 Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.